I had a couple people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, we've heard you're interested in getting into coaching. I said, the answer is yes. You know, there's always a but there, right? Like, I have a great job. Mm-hmm. My family is in a good place. And financially, I'm in a good place. But yes, I'm son of a coach, brother of a coach, played like a coach, broadcast like a coach. And I still think I'm young enough to connect with players. But it has to be the right type of players, the right type of – and the types of kids that UNLV recruits is the types of kids that I played with at Oklahoma State and the types of guys we've always had on our AAU teams. So the answer would be absolutely. If somebody wanted to talk about it and said, do you have a plan and would the plan work here? Yes. I don't think I'm the only answer to what ails UNLV's program, but I do think that I have a unique way of looking at it and understanding some of the benefits that UNLV has in terms of USA basketball, the city, how many kids travel there, where you need to draw from recruiting-wise, how they've won in the past, that I think would be would benefit whoever's doing the hiring in terms of maybe this is the way we want to go. Not necessarily even hiring me, but whatever coach you hire has to do X, Y, and Z.
You know, Doug, along with Rebel fans and anybody who knows you, I mean, you do know the history of UNLV basketball and you know how special it once was and hopes to be again. So with that in mind, and you talked about the calming effect with the departure of Dave Rice, what needs to be done to recruit a player from this era that might not be as familiar with the history or with the expectations, the level? So you can get that player and get that player to be calm from the get-go here at UNLV.
Yeah, I don't understand what's the whole calming thing. What's that come from? I read the AD said that. I've heard other people say that. What in terms of calming effect? I don't understand.
Well, there was a lot of pressure on the program, Doug. I mean, there's a lot of expectations. Certainly, Coach Rice was feeling the heat. Certainly, the players were probably feeling the fact that their coach was feeling the heat. It wasn't a calm environment around here the last couple of weeks.
That's fair. I don't think it ever is going to be calm there. I don't think you want it to be. I really don't. And the great thing about UNLV is you're basically in an NBA town, right? I mean, there should be an NBA team in Las Vegas. There should be an NFL team in Las Vegas. It should. If you have one in Jacksonville, why don't you have one in Vegas? But since no one's been willing to stick that flag in the ground, you have to embrace that. You have to. Whoever the coach is has to be able to sell the program to all the fans and get Thomas and Mack full. And that's the number one thing. Forget about players. You got plenty of players that you have there. That's not the issue. Number one thing you have to do is get the building full. Okay? Because one, that helps you financially and helps you do all the other things you want to do. And two, that allows you to win 95% of your games. Now, again, this is kind of going back historically. Back when they played at Convention Center, nobody won it. You never won in there. This is a zoo. Now, obviously, Thomas and Mack is bigger, but so is the town is exponentially bigger. You got to make it a happening. You got to play a style of play and get after it. And you have to have a coach that confidently can stand, whether it's you and me talking or whether it's in front of the TV cameras, and people gravitate towards them and want to go see his team play, and embraces the idea that there's going to be pressure and expectation. I know UNLV has only won 3 NCAA tournament games since Tark left. Like, I got that. That doesn't mean that big high expectations are a bad thing. They should be a good thing. That means that you have players that people think can eventually be something special. So I don't necessarily think you want somebody who's calm and I know you didn't say milquetoast, but you don't want somebody milquetoast. You have to have somebody who can process all the outside noise, and the outside noise doesn't come from the media. Remember, I think the biggest issue that Dave ran into is wasn't great with the interviews in front of the media, but also how do you deal with, you know, Big Zim's mom and what she tweets, and how do you deal with said player and his AU coach back home, and how do you, if you want to have a calming effect, that's where you have to have a calming effect. You have to have confidence in yourself and what you're going to build with the program, and you have to surround yourself with a staff that understands how to recruit the right type of people and can also create relationships where when they send them to play for you and work out for you, and they send them to Mendenhall where you can practice every day, that they're not calling every day and saying, hey, why didn't he get so many shots? Why didn't he? Because we're playing the best players that are going to help us win games. And when you win games, that's when everybody is seen in a greater light. That's when everybody makes more money. Coaches and players included, when they go to the pros, they're going to go based upon their team's success, historically, I could go back through NBA drafts and even playing in Europe, and the further you play in March, the more money you're going to make initially. And so there has to be, if you want to use calming effect, the calming effect has to be in terms of all the parents and all the wannabes and the AU coaches and the prep school coaches off the floor buying into whatever the plan is for the coach and for the assistant coaches and the product on the floor.
Doug Gottlieb, our guest, talking about the UNLV job that's open now with the men's basketball team. He's with CBS Sports, obviously. Who would your assistants be? What would your game plan be there?
If you want to get that deep into it.
I mean, have you talked to guys already?
To be completely candid, I have a fairly good set plan in place that if X were to happen, Y and Z. I'm not sure if you went my brother's longest tenured assistant in the Pac-12. He also was part of the initial building process at San Diego State. I might be able to talk him out of leaving Oregon State, but they had a top 20 recruiting class in Corvallis, Oregon. If you can have a top 25 recruiting class in Corvallis, Oregon, I think we can do okay in the desert. And then I have a couple other guys. But in all honesty, you know, part of what ails UNLV is all the conflicting alliances is, you know, Stacy wants to be the interim head coach and probably, honestly, no offense to Todd, should have gotten a shot there. But when you fire Dave, you have to have a conversation with Stacy so that Stacy's wife isn't tweeting, because that doesn't help anybody. Mm-hmm. Doesn't help anybody. So you have to go, if you're going to take the job and you're going to be outside the UNLV family, the first call you need to make is to Stacy or to Greg or to Larry Johnson, because you're not going to succeed unless those guys are on board, unless those guys who aren't involved in the program come to see the program, want to cheer for the program. You have to ingratiate yourself to all of the Rebs that so many of us grew up watching and cheering for. So, you know, to say I have an exact plan in place, I got a pretty good set of who a couple top assistants would be. I'm fully aware that I haven't coached before. And even though Fred Hoiberg didn't coach before and Kerr didn't coach before, whatever, you got to surround yourself. You probably got to put a former head coach on the staff as well. But you also have to go in both eyes open, knowing that you need to have a UNLV guy or two around the program so that people have a good sense that you're so that all the other former great players buy into, hey, this guy knows what he's doing, and I feel welcome when I show up at practice or show up at a game.
Fair enough. I like that. Last thing, and you just brought it up right now, but I'm going to ask you anyway. The fan base did not like Dave Rice. He fell out of the graces, obviously, here with the locals and the diehards. And this was his first head coaching opportunity. Tell us why you think this school, and you just brought it up again, but tell us why you think the school should hire another guy, another person that has zero head coaching experience.
Because I don't think it has anything to do with experience. I think it has to do with what you can or what you can't. And I don't want to disrespect Dave, because I think he's a wonderful person. I really do. I think he's a good person, and he wants UNLV to succeed. But I think it comes down to the type of player you are, the type of vision you have, the type of leader you are. You can coach before and not be a good fit. Like, look, I think Mike Brown, for example, who I know is a candidate, I think Mike Brown's a fantastic guy, and I think his narrative that he would say was like, look, I dealt with Kobe. I dealt with LeBron. If you can deal with those two guys and all their entourages, especially LeBron's entourage in his second year in the NBA, why can't you deal with what's at UNLV? And I would generally say that's a pretty good point. The counter to that is, even though Mike has coached before, he's coached in the NBA. You have to know what's going to win in the Mountain West, what's going to win in college basketball. I played for one of the all-time greats in Eddie Sutton. I played for John McLeod. I played for several big-time European coaches as well. And I would put my basketball acumen up there with anybody. And I would say that any coach you bring in, Mike Brown you bring in, is a leap of faith there. Is how he handles himself, how he wants to coach. There's an unknown there for how it would work in college, for how he would recruit in college. And I'm sure he'd probably have an answer for it. If you hire a Steve Lavin, who actually did a really good job of reinvigorating that St. John's program. Again, I don't think either of those are bad hires per se, but will Steve Lavin, there was always the sense that you bring in the big-name recruit and there'd be a suspension midseason and the team would go astray and they had a disappointing finish. Despite the fact they made the NCAA tournament last year, They did so without their starting center. Can he handle the off-the-court stuff? He handled it in New York, sort of. He handled it in L.A., and I thought he did a good job getting the five Sweet 16s. But UNLV is different, especially with the kind of turbocharged atmosphere off the floor. And how badly does Steve really want to get into the grind of the X and O's and the coaching of it? So the answer is, I think there's unknown with anybody you bring in. Guys that have coached before, guys that haven't coached before. And what is the plan like? What is the staff like? How well do you know how you win in the league? How can you fill the arena? Can you excite the fan base? Can you sell the city of Las Vegas? Coaching college basketball is like 10% X and O's. It's 90% everything else. And it would be a leap of faith on that 10%. But if you've heard me call a UNLV game or any other game, I think you'd get a pretty good sense that I know a thing or two about basketball, having been brought up around it, having gotten a chance to cover it, and having a chance to play it at a very high level.
Doug, excellent stuff. And no, you're spot on. Anybody that watches and pays attention, you're as good as it gets. You do an amazing job on CBS Sports. Thanks so much for the time today. We know that you're a very busy man, and good luck going forward, okay?
I'll be honest with you. I thought you wanted to talk about the job in general. I wasn't calling to sell myself or whatever.
But, okay. It just evolved into that with you.
We sabotage you.
It did evolve. But anyway, look, I think kind of, and I know you guys got to go. I do radio, so I know breaks. I would just say this. I think, and I feel bad for Dave, again, because he's a good person. But it wasn't working, and I don't like the midseason firing, and it felt like they felt maybe they could do it, should have done it last year, and that's why it was done this year. I still think UNLV is in a really, really good place, though. The league is prohibitively easier because of the additions of San Jose State and Utah State, and if they can continue to get the level of athlete and get some balance between one-and-dones, two-and-dones, and four- and fifth-year kids, I think UNLV, with the right guy, and there's several right guys. There's not one right guy. With the right guy, with the right plan, with the right support from all of the great legends of the past, I think UNLV can have this thing going in very short order.
Totally agree. 3 seconds here. Can the school afford you?
I never take a job based upon money.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter, @Gottlieb Show. Great stuff, man. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
there
Doug.
You go. Doug Gottlieb.